The federal appeals court ruled this week that a lawsuit brought against Spirit Airlines over ambiguous fees would be able to proceed. The lawsuit was brought by more than 20 travelers who say they were blindsided by hidden bag fees when buying tickets for Spirit flights through a third-party travel website, things like Expedia or Priceline. Spirit is not the only airline that charges for bags and other amenities, but the lawsuit could change how all airlines charge their customers in the future, depending on the outcome of the suit. Seth Kaplan is a transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now. Seth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, great to be here.
Well, Seth, flesh out this lawsuit for us a little bit.
Yeah, so the lawsuit isn't so much about whether Spirit should be allowed to charge these fees. It's about whether it's clear in advising passengers about that. And a little more specifically, Rob, the suit distinguishes between what passengers find when they go to Spirit's own website and what they learn when they buy Spirit tickets on other websites, sites like Expedia, let's say, where you compare different airlines and often just buy whatever's cheapest. Well, you know, if you did that on Expedia, you could perhaps buy a Spirit ticket because it's cheapest, as it often is, without realizing, according to the lawsuit, that you're going to have to pay for some other things that you might not have to pay for on another airline. Early on in with all of this, Spirit charging first for checked bags. They were an early airline to do that. I mean, now almost every airline does that. And later, even for large carry-on bags, people complained at first that it just wasn't obvious at all that they were going to have to do that, even on Spirit's own website. And as things evolved, look, if you go to their website now, it's pretty clear that you're going to have to pay for those things. It's right in your face. I mean, look, partly for their own good, of course, they're trying to get you to pay for those things, collect more money. But, you know, either way, hard to buy a ticket on Spirit's own website without realizing that you're going to have to pay for almost everything other than safe travel. And it's gotten better on those other websites. There are notifications now that things are different on this airline and, as you mentioned, other airlines. But they always sort of trail Spirit's own website in terms of just how clear it is. You know, they're designed to compare different airlines. And yeah, there's a matrix about what you get and what you don't get. But they're not mainly optimizing for telling you all about Spirit Airlines and how it's different.
Right. Shopping for air travel online, especially these comparison sites, you are not comparing apples to apples in many cases when you see airline A's fees versus airline B's fees because of these extra charges, right?
Exactly. And, you know, shopping for airfare, yeah, has become a lot more complicated over the past decade, right? I mean, what's the cheapest airline? Well, it kind of depends on who you are, right? Are you a heavy packer or not? Look, I mean, it's not just Spirit, right? We all know bags fly free on Southwest, right? Well, I mean, come on, they're not really free. They're included, right? And what can sometimes be a more expensive ticket. Now, if you're going to check two bags, if you're traveling with a family and everybody's checking lots of bags, then Southwest is very often the cheapest airline. If you're a light packer, it might not be. So it is possible to get the best deal on Spirit or to get the best deal on an airline somewhere in between, you know, the American, United, Deltas of the world. Kind of depends on who you are. And no question, the bag math especially has gotten a lot more difficult, especially ever since they started charging for carry-ons, which, again, it's not just Spirit. The other ultra low-cost airlines, as they're called. So I'm talking about Allegiant. I'm talking about Frontier. They do that too. And United Airlines, when you buy what they call a basic economy ticket, they charge also for a carry. They don't let you bring a large carry-on like a rollerboard, anything that requires overhead bin space on with the fare. Even though American and Delta, with their basic economy tickets, do include that. So, yeah, it is rather confusing, particularly for people who don't fly all the time. And they feel like every time they buy an airline ticket, the game has changed.
Talking to Seth Kaplan, transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now, about a lawsuit against one airline company, Spirit Airlines, that could have an impact on other airlines. It's about how charges are laid out, especially on third-party websites for extras, like bringing a bag onto the plane. Now, Seth, this lawsuit, the news peg here isn't that the court ruled for or against anybody, but it is significant. It sounds like that they actually said, yeah, this suit can go ahead. That wasn't a sure thing, right?
Right. This is a circuit court allowing this lawsuit to go forward, reversing the view of a lower court. Now, look, some of this is just about legalities, legal technicalities. I'm not a lawyer, to be clear. So part of what Spirit is arguing here is just whether federal law allows this kind of a lawsuit, right? So it's not all about, and this is often the case with lawsuits, right? You hope that, you know, common sense and the law go in tandem, and often they do. But sometimes, yeah, there are just things where you get into some of the legal technicalities also. And as I said before, the lawsuit doesn't appear to question the whole practice of the fees, so essentially to question Spirit's business model. These are people who are saying, we didn't know. And in some cases, we're hit with big fees, a woman being charged $100 at the gate for a bag that she didn't pay for in advance. It's far less than that if you do pay in advance. And Rob, I have to say, it can be confusing even for people. This isn't only about people who have never been on an airplane before. I mean, I myself got hit by this a couple months ago where, so we were going to, I live in Washington, D.C. We were traveling to Bozeman, Montana. And I bought for my family and a one-way ticket on Delta on the way there and on Frontier, one of those ultra low-cost carriers, on the way home. So with Delta, I had a credit card that meant that I didn't have to pay bag fees. I said, we've got a lot of stuff. We can check two bags instead of one. We're three people traveling together. Each person could check one bag without paying. So, we're not paying for the checked bags. Let's take two, whereas we usually try to get all our stuff into one checked bag. Well, I forgot that we're coming on to Frontier and I paid what I booked for one checked bag. But because I had the second checked bag, I had to pay an extra $38, because it was a bag to begin with and I hadn't. It would have been a little cheaper had I paid earlier. And I fly all the time. I know I'm on the radio talking about this stuff with you and nationally, but I got caught in it. So yeah, there's no question. It's different, maybe not so different from other industries, right? Where every store has its own policies. Maybe in that regard, it's not so different, but it is different from how it used to be to buy airline tickets. And again, what's different is that you don't go to one website, again, talking about the Expedias, the Kayaks of the world, where they compare airline tickets. It's not as if you go to one website usually and compare, Target and Walmart, right? Usually you're dealing directly with those stores or with an online retailer like Amazon. Whereas in the airline industry, you do have these websites that sort of try to help us compare all the different airlines, but the comparisons are getting more difficult. To be clear, they're doing a better job than they used to do of warning people, but no question, it's still less clear. And back when the lawsuit was first filed, it was probably even less clear than it is now, than it is when you go straight to those airlines' websites.
What has led the airline industry, to separate out charges like this instead of, okay, you pay your one fee and you get this and that's it, to, okay, we're breaking down each item individually?
Yeah, unbundling, they call it, right? Not so different, again, from the way you buy other kinds of product, but very different from how you used to buy airline tickets. So the way airlines see it, Rob, is basically, look, the old way never made sense in their view, at least the view of most airlines, Southwest really the holdout in sticking with a highly bundled product. They say, look, it wasn't good for airlines. They're making a lot more money this way, but they say it also wasn't good for consumers because you had basically light packers subsidizing heavy packers, right? Again, using Southwest as the example, and it can work out well flying them. But if you're not taking much and you're paying the same amount as somebody who's taking a lot, essentially you're kind of sharing the cost of that other person's bag, right? So the way airlines see it is, why would you want to do that? In the same way as, sure, there's such a thing as an all-you-can-eat buffet, but generally you go into a restaurant and if you eat and drink more, you're probably going to pay more, right? The person eating, a sandwich and drinking a glass of water doesn't want to pay the same as the person eating a steak and drinking a glass of wine. So why would you want to do that on an airline? That's their position. Again, it's not altruistic. This has also worked very well for them because the way it's generally worked is base airfares are, if you try to hold everything constant, which is hard to do, but base airfares are probably somewhat lower than they would be if everything were still bundled. But the fees add up to so much that you know, in the end, airlines are more profitable. So they say, hey, win-win, good for us, but also good for people who, you know, who just pay for what they use now. And that's basically their view, that that this is just what always made sense, but it just sort of took a crisis, especially the one last decade where fuel got very expensive and then you had the global economic crisis, to kind of force them to make changes that that in their view they probably should have made long ago.
We're talking to Seth Kaplan, transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now. We're talking about a recent lawsuit facing Spirit Airlines over carry-on bag fees and how the airline industry has changed how it charges customers over the last decade. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the fees airlines tack onto their plane tickets? Have you been surprised at some point in your traveling life by unexpected baggage fees, maybe that you had to pay at the airport to get on the plane? Do you have questions about how all of this works? Do you think regulations need to change? Are you okay with things the way they are? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our talk about airline fees with Seth Kaplan, transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now. A federal appeals court ruled that Spirit Airlines will need to face a lawsuit that challenges so-called hidden bag fees charged to customers through third-party travel websites. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever been surprised by fees like this? What was your experience when you're shopping for air travel, if you do that? Do you have to set up a spreadsheet to compare who you're going to pay what and see what the best deal really is when you figure out all the fees and how they work together? Do you think there need to be federal regulations? People have thrown those ideas out there. Or is it the company's prerogative to charge what they want, how they want? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard Seth from James on Facebook, who writes, they need to pass laws requiring airlines to not charge for carry-ons. Has this ever been talked about at the federal level when they review airline regulations?
Yeah, James isn't the only person who feels that way. There have been discussions, and there have been new regulations over the years, in recent years, including that have bolstered consumer protection. You know, one is the fact that they have to give you 24 hours to cancel a ticket after you purchase it. That would be one that did happen. Others like that. Those carry-ons are still something where it's just an airline by airline decision right now. And by the way, James isn't the only one who feels that way. Lost my train of thought there for a second. Oh, I was going to say just a tip in terms of doing the bag math, as I mentioned earlier, not so easy. With carry-ons, they cost roughly as much on the airlines that charge for them as a checked bag. But a carry-on bag, of course, is typically much smaller than a checked bag. It can't be nearly as large. Depending on the airline, a checked bag can be up to 40 or up to 50 pounds without paying something extra. Typically up to 40, by the way, on airlines like Spirit, Frontier, and Allegiant. That's something else to watch out for. So if you're traveling together in particular, we've all gotten so trained to think about checked bag fees that we were doing for a number of years, anything to sort of just make sure to carry everything on and check as few bags as possible, that with these airlines and with these fares I mentioned earlier, basic economy on United works this way too. It's kind of the opposite, because you're better off sort of jamming everything into one big checked bag. Again, particularly two or three people traveling together, if you get all your stuff into one checked bag, than carrying on two or three bags. On Spirit, believe it or not, it typically costs more to carry on a large bag than to check a bag, which can be much larger. It's like $5 more to carry on a rollerboard, you know, fits in the bin than it is to check a much larger bag. With other airlines, it might be the same or even a few bucks more to check a bag. But again, if you're facing those carry on fees, think in terms of, you know, how few checked bags can I take rather than how many carry ons can I take. And keep in mind, by the way, that's small items, so a purse or you know, a small backpack that fits under the seat in front of you, those you still don't have to pay. They have their little bag measuring boxes there where you know they might check your bag. Check is the wrong word there. They might inspect your bag, but generally speaking, if it looks like something that you can stuff under the seat in front of you, you could do it. So that's part of the game too. You know, whatever you can stuff in a small backpack, whatever you can stuff in your jacket here as we get toward fall and winter, that's typically fine. It's just going to be those large carry-ons that you have to pay extra for.
It really seems like the incentive structure changed at some point there, Seth. It seemed like for a while airlines were really trying to push you to not carry something on. They were the higher fees, or not to check bags. Those were the higher fees. Okay, so everybody's fighting for the overhead space. Now all of a sudden there are new rules kind of pushing you in the other direction. Is that just my perspective, or is that really happening?
It's really happening, and it's intentional. You know, Spirit, back when they became the first to charge for the carry-ons, first in this country anyway, said that it had gone too far, that because people were trying to carry the kitchen sink aboard the plane, that was the new bottleneck, right? And so they said, hey, we're going to try to rebalance this. Of course, they didn't do that by not charging for check bags anymore. They did by charging for all of it. And I will say, having flown them and the others, yeah, I mean, they kind of have rebalanced it now to where people are more agnostic about perhaps checking a bag. So it's all, you know, we all respond to these to these financial incentives for sure. When you fly Southwest, you don't have that crunch. For them, it's for a different reason, right? Nobody's paying for any of the bags, so you could just check a bag if you want to. When you fly the ultra low cost airlines or increasingly United, the boarding seems a little bit faster because of they've done it with the stick rather than Southwest's carrot. And with everybody else, it's still how much can I carry aboard? And you end up getting at the end there, often the gate agent saying, hey, we'll check the bag for free. Just get on the plane. Let's get out of here.
Seth Kaplan is with us, transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now, looking at airline baggage fees and policies. A lawsuit in the news against Spirit Airlines. They're not the only airline watching that lawsuit. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Maren is with us in Berlin. Maren, hi.
Hi. So I fly Delta all the time, and I flew them a couple weeks ago, and what they do now is when you get up to the bag, to the gate, they say anybody willing to check through their carry-on through to their destination, you can board with the first group that at no charge for your bag. So I kind of cheat the system, and I go and tell them, heck yeah, I'll check it through and pick it up at the baggage claim at my destination. I don't have to carry it through the connecting flight airport, which is nice, and I can board first. So,
Maren, thanks a lot for that call and that suggestion. Seth, can we count on that happening every single time, though?
Maren, yeah, sort of mutually beneficial there, right? Obviously, if Delta's doing it, it's because they've decided it's good for them, but as you said, good for you too. Look, I think they're all gonna they don't want it to get to where people to where you have kind of a perverse incentive for people to all game the system. But to a degree, this is just like all the rest of what airlines do, right? They're sort of testing our price sensitivity, right? When are you going to buy an airline ticket? That's all based on sort of how much of a discretionary traveler you are. And same thing here, right? What are you willing to do? How creative are you willing to be to avoid fees? So to a degree, they're fine with that. You know, in the end, if Maren's willing to take the bag through security, right? So it's a little less convenient because she has to do that at least. She can't just check it at the counter. She's willing to do that and wait for that to happen, which she described, which, I mean, yeah, she's right. That happens a lot. And if it also helps the airline in terms of boarding the plane more quickly, then kind of works out okay for everybody. And with all the billions of dollars that Delta is earning these days, apparently they're not missing Marin's bag fee revenue.
Marin, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Bob with us in Madison. Bob, hi.
Good afternoon. I wanted to bring up a quick incident. I understand about the fees and charging, but we had an incident, and it comes down to the point where I wish airlines would work with people for common sense issues. For example, we went to the counter. One of our bags was 47 pounds. The other bag was 53 pounds. And they said, we have to charge resale for 53. And I said, well, wait a minute. Both bags are 100 pounds, which is the limit. And I don't think the guy at the counter, being very nice here, I don't think he understood the math. So he made us say, well, take the 3 pounds out of the one bag and put it in the other bag, so they're both 50 pounds. And I said, again, they're going to be on the same plane. So it'll be 100 pounds. Meanwhile, everyone behind us is screaming, hey, I'm going to be late for my plane. I'm going to be late for my plane. At the end, we took the 3 pounds out. So both bags were 100 pounds. And we made people, probably at least two or three people, miss their flight.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. I did some bag rebalancing on my last flight. Basically the same math. What do you think, Seth?
We've all been there. Yeah. I've seen more flexible agents when a bag is, 1, 2, 3 pounds over. And especially in that situation with the 53 and the 47, I've seen them, Yeah, use some common sense. Look, that is their job, to be clear, and there are reasons for the 50 pounds. Once bags get heavier, they have to handle them in a special way. But in that particular case, I probably would have felt as Bob did and hoped, even though, yes, that's the rule, that they would just sort of move everybody through, knowing that it's all going to work out fine for everybody, the airline and the passengers alike.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. And Seth, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. A pleasure.
That's Seth Kaplan, transportation analyst for NPR's Here and Now. He joins us today to talk about the recent news that Spirit Airlines can face a lawsuit. That lawsuit's going ahead from travelers alleging the company wasn't transparent about their baggage fees, especially on these third-party websites where you can shop and compare different rates. You can still share your story over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.